our scripture this morning. It's in the, again, 21st chapter of Luke, and he's talking about what to look for when he returns. And some people kind of stop reading right there in the 21st chapter of Luke, and they get caught up in the details of that and, you know, trying to guess when and how and what this means. But Jesus is making another point, and the point is simply be ready. And if you keep reading, Jesus tells us how to be ready, how to get ready for him, because that's what this is really about. So let's go to Luke 21, starting with verse 34, just three short verses. Are you ready? That's the question, right? Here we go. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Ooh. Think about those words. Stand before the Son of Man. In other words, stand before Jesus. Can you read those words without praying, Lord? You got to help me with that. You know, I think sometimes people don't think enough about these words. Oh, I'm saved by grace, they say, which is true, but they're not being careful. You know, unless we're mindful of what Jesus has saved us from and attentive to the pain that that cost him, you have to wonder, do we love him very much? I mean, isn't that what he keeps asking Peter? Do you love me? And didn't he say, if you love me, you'll obey my commands? So yeah, we are saved by grace alone, God's kindness to us, not by what we do. Absolutely, underscore that. But how can we know that that grace is at work within us unless his Spirit is at work within us, right? Tugging at our hearts when we sin, prompting us to want to be better so that we live differently from the world around us. I mean, didn't Paul write in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. That makes me stop and think, right? I mean, think about that. Paul disqualified? And in Philippians 3:14, he writes, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So pressing on implies taking steps personally. God is calling us to the prize, but what direction are we running in? And this matters because here is Jesus telling us, be careful, be careful. Why? Because otherwise our hearts will be weighed down. And we know that. We know that feeling, right? That's what sin does to us, you know? In the unholy trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil keeps tugging on us so that if we're not careful, we live these distractive lives. And it's precisely here that we must not miss what is behind Jesus' words. And again, that is joy. Because think about what Hebrews tells us. We fix our eyes on Jesus, right? 12:32. The pioneer, perfecter of our faith. Some translations have the author and finisher. And then it says, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there can only be one response to that, and that is hallelujah. And that's where we need to go. That's how he lifts our burdens from us. So just quickly, let's look at verses 34 and 35 again. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. So the day is coming, but for believers, that's a good thing. And we need to look forward to it. And honestly, that's something that I've found God doing in my own heart and life, telling me sometimes, James, you don't look forward to it enough. You need to look forward to it more. So the day's coming, right? And we might think that some of those things in verse 34 don't apply to us. I don't know of any of you that have done much carousing lately. But, you know, that word can also be translated as dissipation. And that can mean any number of things that can cause us to lose our focus on the fact that Jesus is coming back and we need to live for him. I like the way that Eugene Peterson interprets this verse in the Message Bible. He says, don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. So does Amazon count? And if it does, you know, if you look at the picture on the front of the bulletin, I don't know if you have your bulletins handy, but this is the original of Holman Hunt's picture of Jesus standing at the door out of Revelation 3:20. And, you know, if you take a good look at it later, because, you know, there are lots of things about this picture. First of all, Jesus is standing there with a lantern. He's the light of the world. But what is that lantern showing on? It's showing on a door that doesn't look like it's been opened in a while. And there are weeds there. You'll also notice there's no knob on the outside of the door. By the way, this Holman Hunt also did another picture that is kind of a follow-up to this that's very different that we might put on the front of the bulletin next week. But basically, you know, when Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and, you know, and be with them, sup with them, in other words, hang out with you, you know, and you with me. When he's doing that, he's speaking to a church. So he's talking to Christians. See, this is the heart of the door. This is the door of the heart of a Christian here in this picture. And again, you see those weeds around it, and it's like, how do I get rid of it? Well, Peterson interprets verse 36 this way. So whatever you do, don't fall asleep at the wheel. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. So I think the real question here is, what is it that distracts you? It can be good things, you know, or it can be the news of the day, or what's happening in politics, or sickness, or family, or relationships. I mean, so many things, right, press in on us all the time. And not that it's possible to be thinking about spiritual things all day long. That would be just one more burden. I don't think that's where Jesus is going with this, right? He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But the question is, what keeps our hearts from being weighed down? Because that's what he's saying. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down. And as I've been thinking about this passage this week, I keep being reminded that having faith is like having wings. And I have this picture in my mind of trying to fly, but being tied down so that you can only rise so far. But Jesus shows us the way clear, the way out. He makes three imperative statements in these three short verses. And the first, again, is just be careful. In other words, be on guard. Keep your head. And that word also carries the meaning of being devoted. Or to put it another way, live intentionally. So, you know, we need to look at our lives to think about those things that distract us and bring them before God. The second imperative Jesus uses is always be on the watch. Well, that sounds a lot like the first one, right? In other words, stay awake. Don't be lulled by distractions. Live on purpose. And that's why we have to be in the Word of God daily, to keep our relationship, to put ourselves in that place where the Spirit can speak to us and reach us and help our hearts be tender and in touch with Him. And so He can guide us where we need to be. So again, be careful, be always on the watch. But how can we do that? And the third imperative brings it all home. And that is simply pray. Pray. Jesus tells us to ask God to help us be ready. And that word is also translated into something that we've been talking about the past couple of Sundays, and that is to desire or to long for. So that's the place of our hearts as we ask. You know, we ask Him to help us keep, to help keep us there in that place of longing for Him. What helps us to be ready is to really embrace, as Paul put it in Philippians 1:6, that He who began a good work in us will carry it through to completion. That His love is that good, that He really is that faithful. He's not only always been faithful, He always will be. And if our hearts are there, if our hearts are really there, they can't be weighed down for too long. Jim Cimbala once pointed out, and Jim Hansen, you and I have talked about this more than once, that the two most important words for a Christian are Jesus and hallelujah. The more we praise God and just love Him from the heart, the more we go into that place of trusting Him, And the stronger our wings will become. The more we make of Him, the less we'll worry about ourselves. So if angels can fly because they take themselves lightly, well, it ain't Red Bull that gives you wings. Praise Him. And He will. May we pray. Jesus, help us in this. Bring us into this place of praise. Holy Spirit, only You can do that, but that is the good work that You began in us. And we never, ever want to set that aside. So help us to praise You. Help us to just love You. Help us to keep our focus on the sweetness of who you are and what you have done for us, and how you must love us so deeply that you would do it. Thank you for your perfect love, Lord. We love you, and we ask for help to love you more, and we thank you that even as we ask, you're more than willing to answer. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name.